Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for listening to the God, Guns, and Family podcast. Today, Nate and I are just kind of catching up. Been a few weeks since we were able to get on here and record something. So we're just catching up. And hope you enjoy. We're going to start off with the Lord's Prayer. So pray with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
What's going on, man?
Hello.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, gangsters.
I feel like this is like weird.
There we go. We're moving. Welcome to the God, Guns, and Family podcast, man. It's been a minute because your boys truly over here has been the pain in the rear ends trying to get schedules and out of town and life, bro. Life. That just happens.
Yeah.
It just happens.
It's all good.
So it's all good, man. We're going to get back in the swing. It'll be a little more consistent. I'm excited.
Yeah,
man.
We just realized that the last one that we did was on February 21st.
That's unacceptable, bro.
Yeah, so this
up here. Oh, yeah. I like angles, baby. It's all about the angles. Yeah. That's a good one. Es bueno.
So.
Yeah, man.
What's up? What's up?
Dude. I feel like I'm like my second home is California. The last, like, I mean, pretty much since January, either Amanda or both of us collectively have been in like in California once a month. So weddings, engagement parties, bridal showers, all sorts of the fun stuff, all back and forth. So then we'll be back in July because we're going to take Liam to Disneyland. So that hopefully will be the last.
Sounds terrible.
You know, he's five for his golden birthday, turning five.
On the fifth.
So we're going to go take him to Disneyland. He's super excited about it. Five on the fifth, man, of July. Yeah, it's going to be cool. He's already got plans. He's like, hey, Dad, we should get gold hats with Mickey on. You want tank tops for Disneyland. I'm like, all right, bub, it's your birthday, dude. You can get whatever you want. But then the plan changed, and he's like, I want dinosaur tank tops for my birthday. I'm like, okay, whatever you want, man. You choose. But he's like, I want a gold tank top. I'm like, dude, you're going to have to figure out and stick to whatever you want because you've given me like 17 different things that you want for your birthday in Disneyland. So it's going
to
be wild. Yeah,
you're going to have to figure it out,
dude. What's new with you, man? I know he's indecisive. He can be.
Had to turn the fan on because it's hot up in this mug, dude. Dang.
I know. We got the AC on over here. It's like 90 degrees in Phoenix today, bro.
Nothing really new. Getting a little bit more comfortable. So one thing that's kind of new is I've been getting a little more comfortable like praying with like people.
Yeah, dude.
Team, dude. Okay. Just because. Yeah, nothing. It's nothing crazy, but
that's a step in the right direction, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, I usually kind of a little goofy about it, so whatever. I'm not as good as like some of the other dudes where they're like, you know, I'm not there yet, but it's all good.
I used to think like this too, right? Like, oh, the guys that have like super eloquent words and like can. Whatever. Like, I felt like I was so inferior to these guys that were like eloquent, people that can pray eloquently and have all these cool words and all these other things. But then I realized this one guy was like, dude, what do you think means more? Someone who can say all the right things or someone's attitude of their heart that is completely surrendered, even though they may sound less educated and less spiritually mature, but whose prayer do you think is of more value? One who can pray eloquently, but kind of has a hardened heart, or one who might not pray very well, but his heart is completely open and soft and pliable before the king, you know? Yeah. Okay, cool. So it really doesn't matter, you know, and even, okay, sidebar, complete sidebar, but Arya is like our little prayer warrior, right? So like there's been a couple of times where she's like, you know what? I'm like, even when we were praying about like where we should move into the house that we're renting now, there was some extenuating circumstances. There was like a couple of people in front of us, and you know, we were kind of talking about it, and Arya goes, you know what, Lord, let it be. And then turns around and walks off. Dude, not even joking. Like 15 minutes later, we get the phone call. Hey, yeah, cool. Like you're in, you're next up, sign the papers. Here you go. Here's your DocuSign. It was like the childlike faith. You know what I mean? So it really doesn't matter how eloquently prayed Stephen talks about, like the guys that stand on the corner and they're eloquent in their prayers, but they're whitewashed tombs, right? Like, I feel like we can, put that expectation standard on ourselves, where if I don't pray as cool as eloquently as this other dude, mine are inferior somehow, but it's not, because you're a gangster and you're doing it and you're moving in the right direction. So,
and I, one of the other things too, that I was going to bring up to you, and like, there's so much stuff that's gone over the last couple months that we haven't really talked about. And it's been,
dude, I know it's terrible, like
2 months, or just over a month, actually, nothing crazy. Like some stuff I listen to, there's a podcast, it's called the Faith and Friction podcast, which is pretty good. It's there's like a pastor and like his wife, and then another person and his wife that are on this little group. And then they had one episode, it was about Easter, right? So, and so I like that immediately like brought to my head, like what you and like the way you're, you know, what your thoughts about are with that whole thing, and then with like Christmas kind of a thing too. And they had specifically mentioned about like churches doing like egg hunts and stuff like that, and you know, or whatever, and basically the way that they looked at it, and I can see it from both perspectives, but they did say that the pagan thing is not entirely true.
Mm-hmm.
So the name is a little different, I think, but the biggest thing is that what's on your heart, like what is your,
yeah,
you know, like, so I guess what I'm saying is like neener kind of a thing to you, but I also think like it's a good way for people to like get people to church. Like, so we usually on a normal service, we only have like, I don't know, like 250 or so. And we had anticipated that there was going to be a decent amount of people. So I was team lead on Easter, and we ended up having like 600 people.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. And so like we had to bring in extra seats, and people even ended up having to stand up at that point. And I mean, it was pretty crazy. So, it was like, I didn't really get to do much with the service, because I was kind of like running around, like helping, you know, get stuff set up, which kind of sucks, because like, you know, I didn't really get to be part of the message and stuff like that. But also it was also really, I said also like 14 times in like one sentence,
that's okay.
But I felt like it was, sometimes I feel like I'm missing sharing the stuff with Aaron and Andrew, but on the other side, also, I feel like I'm doing what I should be doing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I feel like part of me is like kind of sad that I get to miss the service with my family, but the other part of me is like, I know I'm doing like what I'm supposed to be doing and like keeping the church safe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. Do
you have specific Sundays where you don't serve at all?
No.
So
no,
I would encourage you,
but there's differences.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So I can be serving and be in the service the whole time. And
yeah,
so it's only generally when I'm team lead where I'm, and it was just Easter specifically that I was out. So like the other guy, Matt, he's always, him and his wife are always kind of like in the lobby area, and they just like to be out there for whatever reason. So he's always out there. Our coordinator is usually always out there, because him and his wife are kind of like, I don't even know like what you would call them, but they, I mean, I don't know how they do it, but they're always there. They're always at whenever something's going on, they're always there before everyone's setting stuff up. They're not even employees. They're just
volunteer leader.
They're there. Yeah. So like the, yeah, volunteer leader. So like Pam is, she does like the, what is she? I can't remember what her group is called. She's like in charge of the ushers and like the cafe and, I can't remember what her title is. And then Steve is like the safety ministry coordinator. So, but they're always there, man. Like they're always there for stuff. And, you know, they work too. Like they work full-time jobs and, but they're always there. And on Sundays they're there. I think he said they're there at like 7, which is crazy to me because like, I love being there. And I do wish that they had like services on other days too, so that I could go. But like my main, the main part of my week is like, I'm looking forward to Sunday, you know, like that's kind of where I'm at. And so I'm like, I kind of wish that there was another day so I could kind of look forward to another day. Which I don't think is bad. And yeah, so I don't know how they do it, but they're always there. So they always are outside in the lobby area. And then our neighbor actually goes, do you mind if we come to Easter service with you guys? And I'm like, really? Like, that's, well, she asked Aaron. And I'm like, that's a ridiculous question. Like, yeah, no, you can't come.
You're always,
sorry.
Like, blacklisted, bro. You know?
Yeah, so like it's kind of, it was kind of silly because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, why would you even ask this? Because like I don't know how much I've told you about, but like my neighbors, the dude's dad was a pastor. They're very, you know, they are kind of, you know, they're getting there, but like the parents, his parents are very like Bible believing. I mean, they believe it too.
Yeah.
It's just the level is different. And there's certain things that kind of are discussed where I'm like, you should, I mean, that shouldn't even be a thought because of if you're a Christian, like that shouldn't be something you're considering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like aliens comes up, right? That kind of thing. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm like, if you're a Christian, that shouldn't even be something that you're considering because it just doesn't click. Right. Cause like for me, you know, the whole thing is, I mean, I've read like books and stuff. And the main part for me is like, that's like a distraction for like when the rapture happens, that's like, everyone's kind of prepared. That's like the governments and stuff trying to cover up for when that happens. And they're like, oh, it was just aliens. And everyone's like, oh, but it's not. And like the stuff that they're seeing is actually like demons and stuff like that. So that's where my head is at. But yeah, so they're awesome. And then last week, so Aubrey is the wife, and then Zach is the dad, is the dude, and then they have a baby. And Aubrey's parents live in Midland, and they're having a house built up here. It should be done in the next week or two. Beautiful house, like on the river, like giant.
That's crazy. Awesome.
So the mom asked Aaron if she could go to church with us on this last week. And we're like, yeah, of course, like not a big deal. I'm always there. So it's like, I just save the seats. You know, I'm the seat saver guy because I always sit in the same spot. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So
me too. That's how I roll.
And so I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like, so I like it because I always, you know, I always kind of feel like I feel like I'm kind of pushing my Christianity on people sometimes because I talk about like church and stuff like that. And I don't want to be that way.
Yeah.
But it's also part of my life. Like it's one of the biggest things in my life. So that's kind of what I'm thinking when I'm, you know, I don't want to be super pushy, but like, it's something that I talk about a lot because it's a big part of my life. So,
I mean, that's kind of how it rolls is like, I mean, it's like, if I were to go get an amazing car, the first thing I'm going to do is be like, oh my gosh, this car is amazing. And you're going to tell, it's like the satisfied customer sort of thing. Like this has transformed my life. So I'm going to tell you about it. And now you think of that through the lens of like, you know, what Jesus has accomplished in your life. Like, obviously you're going to want to tell people about it. And there is a line that you, it's all about intent, I think. So like, if your intent is to like Bible thump people, that's going to be a turnoff. But yeah, for you to just be like, oh yeah, dude, this is what I do on Sunday. You know, if they're asking and it causes a conversation, don't avoid it. Like, you're not going to steer a hard right to steer around the topic of, you know, faith and in Jesus and church like that. But, you know, I, then you, on the other spectrum is like, you get, you know, you come across these people that are like Bible thumpers that like, you know, oh, they, my brother will say that this is how I used to be back in the day, which is not entirely false, but his joke was, I was so saved that I wouldn't own a dirt devil vacuum because devil was in the name, you know, like so over spiritualized everything else.
Ridiculous.
Just ridiculous, you know, and sometimes that, I mean, most times that is a huge turnoff to people. And there, you know, people that see that are like, oh yeah, I don't want any part of that, because that's where the hypocrisy comes in. Okay, he says one thing, he's all holier than thou. There's a way to be completely relatable and human and authentic and real that doesn't stray away from. So I feel like, unless someone's like, dude, Mike, you are saying this way too much, like, I feel like that might be something that you've imposed on yourself, like just through the, your worldview, right? Of like where you've came out of and grown up. Just let it happen naturally. Like, it's not like you have to go out, kind of like what we were talking about on text message a couple of days ago or yesterday or whatever. It was like, how we live our life is the greatest example of who Jesus is in any way, shape, or form. You know, if your life is being lived in such a way that exemplifies and honors God in every way, or is the best of our ability in that moment, in that day, like what we've talked about numerous times on the podcast. But if my life is being lived in a way that honors Christ, that's doing the greatest amount of preaching that you're, that you will ever do. Your words will just line up with it and confirm that. So back to just being awesome, man. Like, you just every day wake up trying to be a little bit more like Jesus today than you were yesterday, and you quite not have what you have not arrived where you want to be for tomorrow. You know, it's which is really cool, man, is the privilege of to be in progress. Like, the privilege of progress is amazing to me. You know, we're not commanded to be completely perfect right now. You know, it's our job is to lay down our life every minute of every day for Jesus. But there's grace. His grace is sufficient. It's incredible, man. You know, it, we've got the video camera. Boom. There he goes. There he goes.
I saw the light blinking, dude. I was like, it was blinking. Oh, it's doing it again.
Oh, dang it. I know. I should screenshot, because your fingers are like, hey, it's doing this. But man, it's awesome. Jesus is incredible, dude. And I'm really excited to see, just to see where God's taking you and Aaron and Andrew. And it's been awesome to watch, you know, and I've got to say this even to your mom and to your dad, like, it's been awesome to be a part of your journey. Like, I have played, in my mind, no, you know, influential, like, crazy part in it. Like, I just was one thick-headed mule that found water before you and just directed you where the water was, you know, like, I didn't do anything. But to be a part of the journey is awesome, man. And what's cool too is that is something that even the angels don't get the privilege of, right? They don't get to see transformational grace and power, you know, flow out and into people's lives the way that we do as humans. It's incredible. You know, that is absolutely astounding. It's incredible to me. And it blows my mind, like, how we've been given that. So it's awesome to watch what God's doing in you and Andrew and Aaron. It's cool, man. Like, when you guys were out here a couple of weeks ago, it was probably a month ago now, almost a month ago. It was good to see all y'all, man. Yeah, so it's all good.
March 3rd. Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it was like good to see all you guys, man. It's just like, yes, dude. Like, God is totally up to something rad in your family and your life, man. And I mean, even in your whole family, man. It's been awesome to see, dude. So gets me all.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it a point to like pray for my brother, because I know, like, he wasn't, he's not like, I don't know. I know we were both raised Catholic, obviously, but I think, like, he's in a position where I don't know where he's at. And that's not like a conversation that I want to bring up with him. I did tell him, like, a few times, like, hey, man, like, this is something that you guys should be going, you know, go to church, find a place to, like, kind of you know, kind of doing that kind of thing. But I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to be super pushy about it. And
yep,
you know, and the same thing with John, dude. Like John, I know before, like I used to ask him specific stuff about scripture, and then I, you know, now I mean, I don't think that he's gone to church for a while.
No, he hasn't. Yeah, and, my boy John.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I don't know, man. I just if I hold on a second. Oh, geez. Sorry, my neighbor Aubrey is texting me. And I have it on my computer. She's asking if I can help move the garden beds that Zach built.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Funny.
It's because you're strong like an ox, bro. That's why.
Well, they're red. He made them out of red cedar.
Oh, they're heavy.
They're just normal. Heavy boys. They're normal. No, they're not. They're not super heavy. It's just. Yeah. So we can pause it real quick.
But
I can go jump over there and help him.
How
much time do you have?
I got to go get him at 3. I have to leave at 3:45 to go pick him up.
Oh, okay.
So like a half hour. Go pause real quick, bro. Go help him out.
All right. I'll be right back.
You'll just have to stitch him together. Ain't no.
Hey.
Dude, we are back. Mike was being a neighbor like Jesus asked him to be, dude. That's what's happened.
Dude, one of them clicked back of my ankle.
Oh, that's no fun.
Whatever. Yeah, so I don't remember where we were at. What were we talking about?
I know we were kind of talking about your brother a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just a quick little testimony of my own brother. Same kind of deal. So when I got clean and sober, he kind of took my spot in like the rave scene that I came out of and yada, yada, yada. Fast forward. I was like really like Bible thumped him a lot, you know, like Jesus, you know, you need to get your life together. You need to get your life right. You're doing this, blah, 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 you know? And was like really not very gracious about it. Was just kind of condescending and, you know, like you're messing up. This is, you know, just not very graceful. And I was pushing him farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away from Jesus. And he finally, years later, after everything, he got his stuff together and he was like, man, it was like only when I quit pushing Jesus and started being Jesus that he really started to take hold of what I was living. So what he said was, it took me 20 years as your brother to see your life lived. And then all of a sudden overnight, you want me to just believe that there's this transformation that's happened in you. Like he had to watch it be lived out on a consistent daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And it took years for it to, for it to really sink in that it wasn't just like a passing fad or I wasn't, you know, just, you know, blowing smoke or whatever. So it really was when I quit and just surrendered that completely to Jesus and took my hands off of it. And, you know, Lord opened doors for me to be Jesus to my brother. And to, if the door opens, to take advantage of a conversation, if it's available, but really it was like, Lord, that's going to be you, all you. Help me just love him through his process. Was really the turning point in our relationship because I was really kind of being a doofus about it, like really abrasive and pushy. So don't do that.
Do you cuss a lot? Do you cuss at all?
Dude, that's a problem I'm working on. You know, sometimes it's a little bit more than others. Yeah. It's a process. I cuss some. Some days a lot.
So I was, it's kind of a thing that I've noticed that I've tried to, so I've been like different seasons, right? So like for the last, geez, probably year or so, I was like actively trying to not cuss so much. And I still kind of try, but it like it's I'm a little more comfortable cussing now than I was but I'm before. Not. If that makes sense. So like I'm a little more relaxed on it right now, but I think I'm not doing it intentionally. It's just like it just comes out. So I'm not actively like thinking about it because I don't know. Maybe I think subconsciously that there's more important things to be worried about at the moment or something like that. But if I can think about what I'm going to say, then I can actually like figure like I like consciously prevent myself from saying whatever. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And, but I have like, I'm at a position where like, if I hear it a lot, it's really kind of off-putting, you know? Like I was listening to Joe Rogan podcast earlier today with Kid Rock because, he like, and I didn't even realize it was at the very end. Otherwise I would have skipped to the very end, but he, Joe like asked him like, hey, if you could travel to any time in history, when would you go? And he goes, Jesus. And he's all like, what if nobody's there? And he's all like, good, then I got them all to myself. And he goes, no, like, what if Jesus wasn't there? And he's like, he will be, or he would be. And he goes, well, how do you know that? And he's like, my faith. And then it's quiet for like, probably like 10 or 15 seconds. Like there's nothing. And then he goes, that's a good answer. You know, like, not like patronizing him, but kind of just like, okay, like, all right.
Yeah.
So, but during the whole, I mean, Kid Rock cusses like F this, like every other word is F. And I'm like, dude, like I really didn't want to listen to it anymore because I'm just like, it's getting to the point where it's like, dude, this is kind of ridiculous. So like I try not to cuss that much, but like sometimes I do. And depending on who I'm around, like I was at my buddy's house the other night, Andrew's buddy's house. They invited us over for dinner on Sunday, and I can't remember what we were talking about, but I was explaining something, and like it was a story or something like that, and I was all like, you know, this, and I was like, shit, you know, like, and so I said it like that, like quietly, and
yeah,
like I knew it wasn't good. But it was like, I can't remember what I was talking about, but it was something that I had to, cause it was like either like a verbatim quote about something to kind of get the point across or whatever it was that about a story. And so, and that was it. And I was like, oh man, like I kind of felt bad, but they didn't really care. Like the dude's super cool. And that's kind of like why I would ask you that question. I know that there's some LDS that listen to the podcast that I'm friends with, and I don't want to like kind of get into it, but there are differences in what we believe and stuff. And like, I've kind of talked to, my church buddies about it, and it's not something that I'm like, I wouldn't get into the discussion about it because I don't know enough about what I know, like a decent amount of what they believe, but, I don't know. I mean, my kind of thing is like, if they believe this and we believe this, if their goal is to like be the best people that they could possibly be, even though like the goal is to get to whatever level of heaven that they want, is it my place to tell them like that's wrong? Because I think in the grand scheme of things, if you look at what they're doing on a daily basis, like, cause they prayed before we ate and everything when we were over there. And I mean, nothing was different. It was praising Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, like normal stuff. So that part wasn't like anything different, you know, it wasn't like, Islam, right? If they're praying to like Muhammad, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not jumping on that bandwagon because it's not the same. And I know it's not the same for LDS either, but I was just like, so I know what the differences are and stuff like that, but I'm not in a place to tell them like, dude, I don't think that your belief is accurate, because like there are differences for sure. And
yeah, dude. And I feel like Because that's like a pretty recent like relationship that's being built, like you guys. Like it's been Andrew's friend for a while, but like with you and like his parents, right?
Yeah, I mean we've been relatively newish. He started training with us a while ago. And then Andrew started hanging out with this kid. And then I was like, oh, that's okay. Jim's kid. So like, you know, and so nothing super consistent wise, but yeah, fairly new-ish.
On a different depth, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
I feel like that those conversations, God will open the door to on his time. So, like, right now, you're still kind of in this, like, exploring what a more close relationship would look like. I've been so wrong in that where I like jump right into those kind of conversations before the door is open and I just grenade the entire relationship. So I think doing it too early would almost be a bigger grenade than it would be to allow, like there will be obviously a difficult conversation at some point where you're kind of challenging belief systems. I'm going to be like, you know, eloquent word, you know, like I don't have enough knowledge or words to sway someone from an opinion. That's all going to be Jesus through me. I don't ascertain to have known any sort of level of knowledge that I could just come up like, you know, Gnosticism wise, like knowledge versus knowledge to, you know, combat someone that's steeped in their religion. It's just, I have to rely on the Holy Spirit to do it. So that relationship, though, is going to be a cool one to watch unfold, because it'll be like one of those, like I got a buddy at work, same deal, right? I mean, he's not LDS. He's like atheist, like legit atheist. And I've just been slowly like working on him, man. Like we become friends. Like he knows that I'll go to bat for him. Like he was going through a rough spot like a month ago. And I finally just texted him. I'm like, where the heck are you? Like, you're not at work. Like, what's going on? Oh, I've been going through some stuff. I just took some days off. So then he wasn't there the next day. And I started asking around like, yo, where's this dude's apartment at? Like, I know it's within like 3 miles of work. So like, I'm going to start knocking on apartment doors here soon. And finally he understood like, that was no BS. Like, I'm going to come find you. Like I'm here for you. And you're not taking my hand that I've got extended to you. So I was ready to go find it. But that relationship over time, I just, every day I pray like, Lord, let me be a light in such a way that it spurs him when things get hard, that he can come talk to me and I can be Jesus to this kid that doesn't know Jesus. So, giving room for the Holy Spirit to open those doors is the most profound thing that I can say. I don't want it to be some emotional high that I offer someone. I want it to be like a legitimate transformation with an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's totally different. I want life change eternally versus make you feel good in a moment, but you go back to thinking and believing how you were before. So it's going to be cool to watch the relationship with him and you unfold as you guys go forward. Just to see
what I think. I just from like seeing the kind of people they are and like it's not I for some reason I like I don't feel I just so my initial concern is like it coming up, like I didn't want them to be like, hey, you know, we do this and I'd be like I'm not doing that because I don't think that what you believe is accurate. But I don't think because I talked to my pastor, I talked to Justin about it specifically, and he said that a lot of his kids' really good friends are also LDS, and it's not usually something that they try to do, and it's not like I was scared about it. It's like I just didn't want the conversation to come up, and then I didn't want to respond and be like, "Nah, that's really not like, you know, something." I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah,
and which I don't think that's a common conversation that they have, and we're ultimately like, I mean, I know that they believe in Jesus. There's a little bit of additional stuff, I guess, on top of what happened after the resurrection or something like that. Did you know about all that?
Not specifically. Okay. I need to do some more research.
I don't believe it, but I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting point of view. And There's other stuff that, you know, whatever, but it's not something that I wanted to like, I don't want that to be like a thing. And, but I mean, they're super nice. And I really was kind of on the point of where we believe in Jesus, man. And, I actually asked my buddy Matt, who's on the safety team with me. I had texted him and I asked him like, hey man, how do I go about this relationship? And his wife goes, cause he was driving to Costco. And she goes, Matt's driving, Grace here. My best friend in high school was a Mormon and still is. And we had a lot of really good discussions where we just asked each other questions. Like, what do you guys believe about this? And in witnessing, she's always found it was always relationship based. As friends, you talk about stuff. So you pray for opportunities to talk about God stuff, but it's not like you're going to zip tie them to a chair and waterboard them with Jesus. So it's like, oh yeah, we are kind of talking about that in church today. And then boom, the conversation. And she goes, in the name of Jesus, you will go to heaven the easy way or the hard way. I don't know what that means, but that's what she said. So, yeah. And so like to me, I'm more along the lines of in my kind of perspective, the way that relationship would be to me is like, they're one of the 99, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not the one. They're not the one that straight away. So that, like your situation, that situation, I think is more important to witness towards than someone who kind of is in the same realm as Christianity-ish. They believe in Jesus and they believe, you know, this and that. And there's certain aspects of it that are a little different. But I do think that, you know, like you had mentioned before and that we talked about it previously, is that once it comes down to it, you know, they're going to be like, hey, you know, when they, you know, if they get to their last synapse and their brain firing, they're going to be like, I believe in, I'm with Jesus, man. Like, you know, yeah. So I don't know, man, like, I don't know. It's kind of it's a weird thing to be considering. And I'm like, and I'm not in a position, like I said, at all to be having a conversation with someone about like what part of their religion is not something that yeah. is real or not. Like, because, you know, I know they go off the Bible and, ish. And so like, I don't think it's that important for me to kind of have a discussion about it right now. Not to mention, like, I'm not in a place to have even mm-hmm. a remote knowledge base to have the discussion. So I think, you know, they're really nice. They're really good people. Their kids are very well behaved. They mean, they just, there's nothing that's like red flag to me to the point where it's like, I'm going to be, mm-hmm. this is a concern. It's not. And
yeah,
ultimately like their salvation is a concern, but I don't know. And I don't know if it's very Christian of me to say, but I don't think that's a concern for them either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think their ideology of Jesus is going to be the breaker, whether or not their salvation is granted or not. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's so, like Jesus and him crucified, right? Like him, LDS adding whatever additional scriptures because of whatever, fill in the blank. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When you boil it down, it kind of like what you just said, like it goes down to the last firing synapse. And, you know, if your belief and trust and wholeheartedly, you know, to Jesus, then like he is the way, the truth, and the life. And none come to the Father except through him, right? So this conversation will, it'll just grow naturally. You know, it'll be like, kind of like what, you know, Grace was talking about was, you know, having conversations. What do you believe in this? Like, how do you believe in that? And at the end of the day, I feel like we are going to bring, when we go into heaven, there's so many people that are going to be there that you just thought like, oh my God, I'm so glad you're here. didn't think you'd be here, but you're here, you know, and kind of like what we've talked about, the last firing synapse and passing neuron. And Jesus's heart is for none to perish. So I feel like, you know, that 7 minutes when your brain is still alive, post your heart is done beating, there's the ability and time left to go all in with Jesus. So kind of like what you're saying, that to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work out his will in their life and just be willing to have a conversation when the time comes. Hey man, what do you believe, over a dinner or over a coffee or, you know, on the mat or whatever, dude, you know, God will open the door for you to have a conversation with Jim and his family. And you just get to be an example of who Jesus is in your life. Like, let me live out the transformation that's happened inside for them to see, you know, because that really at the end of the day is what it is. For everyone, our righteousness is of filthy rags, and everything that's good in me comes from Jesus, because everything I know is all wickedness in my flesh. So Jesus and his love and grace is incredible. And it kind of like what you're talking about, you know, I don't really, if it's a concern, if it's not a concern. I mean, he says he loves Jesus. There's just a little bit extra of things. Like, it's a pissing match at that point. Like, we aren't going to know. It's for Jesus to know. And it's our job just to love people. When it gets a little complicated like that, I just have to tell myself, love people. Like, the motto for our church is to love, live, and lead like Jesus. Let me love, let me live, let me lead like Jesus. And that's what I'm challenged to do, man. If I don't see eye to eye, or I don't understand, or whatever, like, I'm, my job, that doesn't change how I'm supposed to love that person. Like, atheist, homosexual, pagan, all across the board, whatever camp that is you find yourself in, my job is to love you like Christ loved the church, period. And that's what this whole thing boils down to. Let me love these people the most efficient and most powerful and most poignant way that I know how. And that's as a life lived at the feet of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Jesus. I yeah, I don't, so I'm in 2 Samuel right now. And so it's like, I think it's going in order. And then Psalms is like at the end. So it's like there's three or four books, and then, or three or four chapters, and then a chapter from Psalms, because it was Genesis, and then is it Deuteronomy after that?
Yeah, in the Bible, yeah. So Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy.
Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Judges. Am I missing one?
I'll find them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel.
Okay, so I'm in 2 Samuel now. And before, kind of jump into a completely different thing, but just because, like, we're talking about Jesus, that's what we do here.
That's how we do. Yeah, boy!
And not that 2 Samuel has Jesus in it, because it doesn't, because it's Old Testament.
But it's pointing to you.
But it's pointing to, well, so, and then David is the big part of 2 Samuel from what I've remembered. And King David, the David.
Yep.
And, I never, like, so, like, Numbers is super, it's dry. Leviticus is dry. Deuteronomy is dry. Ruth, I like Ruth, because, like, Ruth is, it's a short book, and, like, I basically know the whole story already, and I've only gone through it like twice or three times. And Samuel, and then 2 Samuel, where, you know, we're talking about Bathsheba and the son, and then Solomon, and, like, you know, and all this stuff.
Yep.
And the story, like, we just think about how, so the biggest part for 2 Samuel to me is like the forgiveness aspect, where, you know, what's that dude's name? Uriah.
Yes.
So, David,
the dude that was pulled back and killed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His name is Uriah.
Yeah.
And, So like, because of that, David lost his son with Bathsheba, right? That's the one that died.
Yep.
And so like, to me, I'm like, well, I mean, he messed up. Like, this is a jacked up thing that he did. But then he realized like, oh dude, like this is bad. And this is why I'm suffering. And then he has Solomon with, we'll see, what's that one girl's name? I can't think of her name. Whatever it is.
So,
oh, it is Bathsheba. Right,
Solomon's Bathsheba. Yeah, Bathsheba.
So the first one was who then?
Let's see. That,
Nathan.
The first son died. No, died before he was named.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, Nathan. I probably should know that. First one was died before he was named. Nathan was the first child of Bathsheba. And then Solomon is the second one. Solomon's one that takes David's place.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So it's just like that whole, like, so it's just like more story of the whole thing. And everyone, I've been doing, watching a lot of videos and like interpretations, explanation videos on certain things and, you know, just kind of all this different stuff. And it was one of the ones that kind of stood out. And like I've been listening to it. And then this one kind of is like, all right, let's, this is a focus. And it just like, it's more, I don't know if it's like relatable, but the way that the world is today, like it's something that is probably more common than it should be. Where like, you know, someone has an affair and then they have a child with the one that they had an affair with. And then like, hopefully no one's really like murdering the spouse to kind of get rid of them. That's definitely an extreme. And obviously shouldn't happen, but it, this, like the example that it shows in the Bible basically says like, even this one thing, not even just one thing, like a few things that are kind of compounded on top of each other. Like he had, you know, they were adultered. Is that the word? Adultered? Anyways, they were adulterers. And then he was a murderer on top of that. And it's like, even at that point, God was like, I'm a knuckle sandwich you, man. And he's all like, dude, I'm, forgive me. Yeah. And then he repented and he changed his life. And like, and that, I think if someone can see that, just that one story, because there's a few of them that I don't know if there's many like that specifically, but there's stuff like similar in the Bible that people can look at and be like, okay, dude, this tells me that God is this forgiving and this loving.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
even though we're all going to be imperfect and we're going to be sinners and there's nothing that we can do to prevent that from happening.
Mm.
There's a cost that has already been paid. So the way that our pastor has been talking about it is, he's like, there is mercy, which is, how did he say it? He said it like something like, mercy is something that you don't deserve. Or something that you do deserve. I can't remember what he said. And then,
mercy is not receiving something you deserve.
Mercy is not receiving something that you deserve, and grace is receiving something that you do not deserve. And he has like this like budget, you know, it's got like a line graph, and then it has like a thing here, and then a thing here, and it's like, dude, he's like, if we ever like realized what was actually given up for us.
Shoo-wee, boy.
Dude, you know, it's like, and people, I think one of the hardest things for people to even understand is not only people just don't believe for whatever reason, even though there's significant historical documentation and evidence that support it, but they are unable to grasp the level of forgiveness and understanding by God and how imperfect we are on a consistent basis. Because, like, you know, we are obviously never going to be at the level that we feel like we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But because we were given that blank slate, and it kind of is like refreshed, I guess you could say, on a daily basis.
Yep.
Then it's, you know, and the whole, like, what is that thing? I can't remember what we said before. It was like, dang it, the works.
Oh yeah. Faith without, faith with
works, works faith is a result.
Works. Yeah. Faith, you know, faith isn't a, as a, you know, faith isn't a result of works, but faith is, without faith, without works, faith is, without works, faith is, or without faith, works is dead, or without works, faith is dead. But what it's saying is you can't, through works, you know, achieve grace. Like, you know, faith without, I forget the exact terminology, but basically, like, you can't do anything to earn grace. Like, there's mm-hmm. no amount of doing any sort of works to get yourself into the realm of grace. Like, it's just by faith that we've accepted this grace through Jesus. And what's awesome too, like what you brought up, all these things that David did, if you just take this one Bible story and you just look at it with a microscope, not only was he an adulterer, not only did they conceive a child out of wedlock, not only did he invite Uriah back home and try to, like, force them to sleep together to cover up the sin, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So then he decided to send him to the front line of the battle and then pull everybody back, and he was murdered. Okay, you look at just that. Yep. After all those series of events, he loses a child, he drops to his knees in repentance and weeping, just saying, Jesus, you know, who trusts you, I am repenting to you. After those things, he was called a man after God's own heart. The timeline, mm-hmm. God called him a man after his own heart after Bathsheba, after Uriah, after all these things, after, because repentance is repentance is repentance. God cares about the repentance of our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. You know, which, you know, what you're talking about every morning, it says, my mercies are renewed every day. When we wake up, we take that first breath before our eyes hit open, and we just, Jesus, I want to live for you today. Brand new. It's a brand new slate. Everything yesterday says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. What's passed mm-hmm. away yesterday, and we can't be worried about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen in the future. We got to worry about what's happening right now, because we're not granted tomorrow, but today we are given new mercies. And when we as a church, we need to start realizing that the price that Jesus paid on the cross didn't just, like, punch our no fire ticket, but now when God looks down at us and sees us through the blood of Jesus, he calls us the righteousness of Christ. We have been made righteous, which means the righteous on earth walk with authority, walk with intentionality, walk with discipline in such a way that we are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, which means when we pray for the sick, they shall recover. When we cast out demons, they're cast out. When we want to raise the dead, we can raise the dead, not by our grace and mercy, not by our works, but by the grace and mercy of Jesus, right? Those mm-hmm. things Jesus has called us to. That's the sacrifice that Jesus paid that people underestimate, is the amount of mercy that is that is given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We're not receiving something we fully deserve, and we're receiving something through grace that we never deserve, which is the inheritance, the kingdom. So Jesus mm-hmm. bore that to pay the price for us, that now that we can go live on earth as it is in heaven, live as Christ on earth as it is in heaven. It's wild. Jesus is incredible. That whole thing with your pastor, those touching right on the money, to understand what Jesus did in order to give us mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Those two words are overused in the church. Oh, the mercy of Jesus. Do you understand what it took for the mercy of Jesus to even be available? Oh, grace, saved by grace through faith. Yeah. Do you understand what it took for that to be an option. Yeah. Like, you got to understand what the sacrifice meant in order before you can fully understand what that means for you specifically. So,
yeah. And it's like, people take it, and not like necessarily take advantage. Well, they do take advantage of it, but I think the way that some people who are like, you know, like the Easter attenders and the Christmas attenders of church, and
CEO even Christians.
Some people who probably, what is it?
CEO Christian Easter, Christmas and Easter only.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so like, even some that attend on a regular basis, probably too, it's like, hey dude, like, you know, grace is unlimited, but like the reason why people don't understand, I think, is the biggest concept. When you are constantly saying, like, I'm, you know, grace, I have grace. You have grace, but you're not actively trying to be better. Like, you're not pursuing Jesus. You're just saying, oh, well, I'm good to go. And like, you know, I don't know like how to explain that whole, like, why that's not the same. But it's not, I just know that it isn't. And I don't know. Grace, was it work? Grace without works
is dead.
What is it? Is dead.
Grace without works is dead. But faith, I have faith through.
Faith through grace.
Yeah. Faith by faith. I said it once already and I forgot it already. By grace.
Grace through faith.
Yeah. Grace through faith. But faith without works is dead.
Yeah. So,
and that's that thing, like, you can't just
practice
use
what you preach, bro.
That's it, man. That's it.
And that's literally it. Like, that's literally it. Like, you have to practice.
You can't just say, I'm a Christian, like, but no outward expression of trying to live out that transformation or that encounter with Jesus. That's what you're saying. You got to practice.
And I think the biggest important thing, too, is like, dude, you're not going to be able to do it consistently every day. You're not going to do it. And nobody can. And I think that part right there is where the grace needs to come in. We need to be like, hey, dude, we got to do it. And if you mess up, dude, you mess up. Try it again tomorrow.
Yep.
100%. Try it again tomorrow. So
100%.
Yeah, bro. So I know you
got it. That's it, man. Let's pray real quick. So I got to get the littlest human being from school, bro.
All right.
Dude, I'm glad we got to record, man. I freaking missed your face, bro. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be there in June.
Yeah, we'll connect about that later. Dates. I'm excited. Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. What a privilege and honor that it we can be counted as son and daughter. We just surrender to you, Jesus. Work this into our spirit, our soul, our mind, body, heart. That let us be living out as true examples of who you are. Mercy, grace, and forgiveness, Lord. Lord, that the price that you paid, Father God, let us understand that in our soul, in our spirit, that the weight of the sacrifice, Lord, so that we can live in such a way that honor is honorable and acceptable to you. So, Lord, we surrender to you. Every person that hears this podcast, Lord, let it touch their heart, that to be encouraged, not because they listened to two guys speak, but they encountered you, Holy Spirit, in a real, very real, tangible way. We're eternally grateful that you choose to operate within us. And we just surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's it, man. Like, subscribe, amen, share, dude. Let's do it.
Oh, I didn't even put anything on the screen this time. What the crap?
Oh, dude, we're just chatting, bro. We're just chizzy chatting today, man. All right, guys. I love y'all. See you later.
Peace out, sauerkraut. He left. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I know there's not many of you. But we really appreciate it. We'd like to thank everyone for sending us messages and, you know, all that kind of stuff. We know that we're not perfect. We're not trying to be. We want to make sure that everyone knows that. And we want to share the word with everyone who is at any level in their spiritual journey, Christian journey, pursuing Jesus journey, whatever you want to call it. If you do have questions, please reach out to us on Instagram at the God, Guns, and Family Podcast. We are on there pretty regularly. And just let us know if you need anything, prayer requests or anything like that. And God bless you guys. Have a good one.